Today's scripture is Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great of a cloud, witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Please be seated.
Good morning, church. I want to thank my brother Wayne and the elders for giving me the opportunity to speak to you this morning. Wayne is not feeling so well, and so we want to keep him in our prayers. And I also noticed this morning on Facebook that Kayla Farrar's mom passed away, and she was requesting prayers, so we need to add her and her family to the prayer list and keep them in our prayers. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. The entire Bible hinges on that one statement from John chapter 1, verse 14. God says to us, I've given you this Bible, this pattern for living, this plan for living. Now let me show you how to live it practically. How many of you all learn by watching a demonstration? Whether it's cooking or golf or whatever it is that you're trying to learn, you learn best by watching a demonstration. That's the way I learn. And I always loved it growing up as an athlete when the coach would demonstrate. I played offensive line, defensive end, and the coach would talk to us, our line coach, about technique and about our stance and about a lot of things, about being a good lineman. But I always preferred it when he would demonstrate. I just wanted to say to him, if you could just show us what you're talking about, I think I could learn it. I think I could do it. So we turn to God and we say, God, this Christian living stuff isn't easy. Can you just show us? Can you just show me? Can you show me what you're talking about? And he says, all right. So the Word became flesh and he lived and he had the hassles and the pressures and the loneliness and the hurts and the pains and the letdowns. And then finally he died on a cross. And God turns to us and he says, that's how you do it. That's how you live the Christian life. But if you're like me, you look at the life of Jesus and you say, you know, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I'm up for that challenge. So I look to the scriptures for a key, for something that I can get my hands on. I mean, how could Jesus be there on the cross, looking at the cross and the crown of thorns and say, I'll do it? I know I don't have to do it. I know I could call down 10,000 angels and all of you would be destroyed, but I'm going to do it. And as they stretched out his hands and as they took the nails, knowing the ordeal that he was about to endure, he went through it. He stuck it out. He hung in there. Amazing love and amazing grace. I believe in Hebrews chapter 12, we find the key to the way that Christ did it. So if you want to be turning your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. The Hebrew writer was writing to a group of Christians, Jewish Christians, who were starting to give up on Christianity. They wanted to go back to their old way of living. So if you sometimes have trouble walking the Christian walk and keeping your faith, you're right where these people were. They were struggling. So let me read again what was just read from Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So first of all, what does this tell us about the racetrack? Well, it tells us that God has already marked out the racetrack. He's prepared the path that we're to follow. And then the next question, well, where are we supposed to get the strength? We keep reading. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It says to fix our eyes. What does that mean? Well, I think it means we're to concentrate or we're to focus on our Savior. And then it says this beautiful passage, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. It's one that I have underlined in my Bible. It says, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. For the joy set before him. So what does that tell us? Well, what it tells us is that as they begin to nail, Jesus wasn't thinking about the present, but rather about the future. He wasn't thinking what a terrible moment this is, although it was, but he was thinking, I'm doing this for a purpose to come. I'll endure this, I'll put up with this to bring about better things. And I think we need that same attitude as we endure the struggles in our own lives. Can you think of another Bible reference to this phrase, this reference to fix our eyes? Does that sound familiar? Well, if you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll start in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's such an important verse. I want to read that little phrase again. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So the title of my lesson this morning is Time Prioritizes Everything. It's one of the great biblical concepts that we read in the Bible. There's so many great things in the Bible, so many great concepts. We just have to take the time to read it. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, well, that won't matter in 100 years? Anyone ever have a parent that dropped that line on you? This isn't going to matter in 100 years. Any of you ladies ever get back from a bad trip to the beauty parlor and maybe they didn't do so well and the lady that worked on your hair says, well, that wasn't what we intended, but it won't matter in 100 years, right? As a teenager, I remember debating with my parents about going to certain parties and we would go back and forth and I would make my case. And then usually my mom or dad would say, son, will it matter in 100 years? How are you supposed to answer that? I mean, what's the answer to that little question? Of course, when report card time came out, I tried to use the same phrase on them and it didn't work. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Eternal and forever are such big words. My sisters and I know this will be a surprise to you, but we were odd children, and we would play this game where we would stand in front of a mirror and we would have a contest on who could make the grossest face. We had a rough childhood. And so we would stand before the mirror and we would scrunch up our faces and stick out our tongues, and every once in a while my mom would walk in and she would see us and be puzzled by what we were doing, and she would say, stop that. What if the earth froze and you were somehow stuck with that face forever? And of course, I imagine going to high school with that face and having to go through my high school years with that face, and I straightened up and we stopped making the faces. I remember another time when my family took my sister to the airport and I didn't want to go. She was off to take a trip somewhere and I just wanted to stay home. So she came up to me, this is my older sister, and she says, you know, Steve, if this plane crashes, you won't see me again forever. And I replied, can I have your stereo? I was focused on the short term. As a little kid, I wasn't worried about forever at that time. So Paul says there's some stuff that is temporary and there's some stuff that is eternal. And the difference depends on one word, time. You see, the devil's goal is to get us to think about right now, this moment. And Jesus' goal is to get us to think about forever, eternity. The devil has fooled mankind since the beginning of time by getting them to think about right now, the moment only. Let me give you a few examples of that from Scripture. We'll start with Exhibit A, Adam and Eve in the garden. As Eve bit into that fruit, and then Adam joined her, was she thinking, I'm about to do something that will change man's relationship with God forever? Or was she thinking, I'm hungry, and I'll do anything to get some food? She focused on the temporary, not the eternal. Exhibit B, we find Jacob and Esau. What was Esau thinking when he sold his birthright to Jacob? You remember the story. Esau was the rough and tough guy. I picture him as kind of a cross between maybe Kevin and Greg with my mother-in-law's red hair on top. So he was the rough and tough, hairy guy, and Jacob was the mama's boy. Jacob was the guy you would find in the kitchen cooking. So Esau's been out all day. He comes in for some food. He's starving, and he says, Jacob, I'm hungry. I want some food. And Jacob says, okay, but give me your birthright. So Esau faced a tough question here, folks. He had two options. Option one, I can have about $1 million or more when Dad dies. Or option two, I can have a bowl of soup right now. That was the question, the options that he faced. I'd like to think that Esau thought about it for at least a moment before answering, duh, I'll take the soup, okay? Short-term focus, wasn't thinking about the long-term, and I don't think Esau realized his mistake until his father passed away and he looked over and he saw his brother Jacob doing cartwheels, realizing what he had just pulled off in getting the birthright. Exhibit C takes us to the story of David and Bathsheba. What was David thinking when he was up on that roof and he saw Bathsheba off in the distance in the nude? Was he thinking, I'm about to do something that will put a black mark on my name for the rest of my life? Thousands of years from now, people will be reading in their Bible about this sin that I'm thinking about committing. Was he thinking that, or was he thinking short term, I want this woman now? Exhibit D, we find Judas. What was Judas thinking when he said, hey, When they said to him, hey, see this bag of silver, we'll give it to you if you give us Jesus. Was he thinking, I'm about to send my name down through all of time as the biggest betrayer ever? In fact, no one will ever name their baby Judas because of me. Or was he thinking, man, that's a lot of silver. What could I do with 30 pieces of silver? His focus was on the moment, on the short term, not on the long term. This morning we could go through our Bibles, and it's a fun exercise to go through it. Just start skimming through your Bibles, looking for examples of people focused on the short term rather than the long term. When I think of Job, Job was faced with kind of a dilemma here. Is he going to focus on his short term suffering? Was he going to curse God and die, you know, say curse God like his wife did, or was he going to spend eternity with God and keep his relationship with God? He faced a choice. Martha could focus on the short term, getting the dishes done, or she could focus like Mary on the long term, spending time at the feet of God, listening to God. Short term versus long term. When we read the story of the children of Israel and the golden calf, they could focus on the short term, the golden calf, or the long term. What Moses was doing and getting the Ten Commandments and them being faithful to him for the long term. I think that same short-sighted view affects us today. The young teenage girl who is pressured by her boyfriend to have sex. The teenage boy or perhaps the teenage adult who is pressured by his buddies to go get drunk. Are they thinking, I'm about to do something that will ruin my reputation and make me feel guilt and shame for years to come? Or are they thinking short term? That sounds like fun. I just want to fit in. Think of other examples from your life. Have you ever put work ahead of relationships with your children? Have you ever put material possessions ahead of supporting mission work? In fact, let's get personal for a moment. I want you to think of your last sin. We won't share it. We won't make you come forward and tell everyone about it. But think of the last sin that you committed in your life, where you focused on some short-term benefit, or were you thinking about the long-term impact of that sin and the impact on your relationship with God? So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's how Jesus did it, folks. We need to write that verse on our fridges. We need to put it on our desks. We need to put a copy of it in our wallets. And we certainly need to write it on our hearts. So I want to try a little experiment this morning. If you guys will play along with me. I want you to put on your forever glasses, your eternal glasses. These are special glasses that will only let you see what will be important in 100 years. But let's take this in increments. First of all, with these eternal glasses on, I want you to look out through them and answer this question. Where will you be in 10 years? Some of you single folks will be married. Yes, I'm talking to you, Eli. Some of you married folks will have kids. Some of you with kids will have teenagers. And you better get ready for that. Where will you be in 20 years? 20 years from today, where will you be? How about 30 years? Add it up. Do the math. Add 30 years to your age. The year is 2050. How you doing out there? How old will you be in 50 years? Some of you are looking pretty bad. Andy, you're looking real bad. How about 60 years? How about 70 years? Some of you are betting on modern science now. They're going to freeze me and they're going to discover a cure for everything and I'll be just fine in 70 years. How about 100 years? December 6, 2120. How old will you be? How will you be doing? From up here, you all are all looking pretty dead. Let's just admit that, okay? Can we just be honest about that? Now, let me ask you the big question of the day. What will be important to you in 100 years? Look through those glasses and let's see what will be important to you then. First, what don't you see in those glasses? What does the Bible say are temporary? It says if you can see it, it's temporary. This building, temporary. Every house, every car, everything that we think is so important, temporary. Won't be here. Your high school diploma, your college diploma that you work so hard on, great. It's temporary. The big house, the condo, the boat, temporary. If you can see it, it's temporary. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Everything in the world around us that we can see is temporary. Guess what else? Look at your hands. That's right, temporary. You are going to die. I thought I would bring you those encouraging words today. Of course, our society tries to deny that. We want to escape from that. We don't want to talk about that. In fact, when somebody dies, what do we do at the funeral home? We put flowers around the body. We want the scene to look as pretty as possible. And then we pay morticians to paint the body to make it look more alive. In fact, the greatest compliment you can pay a mortician is to say, Uncle Ned looks so alive. Okay? We don't want to deal with death. We don't want to deal with the long-term impact of being a human. So there's a lot of things that are temporary. We know what they are because we can see them. The question then becomes, so what is eternal? What's going to matter to me in 100 years? What should I focus on, God? Or 1,000 years? What's going to matter in 1,000 years? Well, let me suggest three things this morning, and then the lesson will be yours. First of all, God and His love are eternal. God will always be. The United States of America, as much as I love it, won't always be. The Republican and Democratic parties that we spend so much time worrying about and focusing on won't always be. The northern hemisphere, short term, won't always be. Maryville, Tennessee, won't always be. But God and His love are eternal. Number two, Christ and the Bible are eternal. There's lots of words that we have memorized, words that are very important to us. I pledge allegiance to the flag, my country 'tis of thee. Oh, say, can you see? These are powerful words. These are important words. These are meaningful words. But these words aren't going to matter on the day of judgment. All the words of Shakespeare, the Gettysburg Address, the great words of Martin Luther King, President Kennedy's "Ask not what your country can do for you." All of these are great words, but folks, they're temporary words. None of them will matter to you in 100 years when you are dead and rotting in your grave. But the words of Jesus, the words of the Bible, will last for eternity. And third, the church and your relationship with God are eternal. You know, we've lost a lot of people this year to the COVID crisis and a lot of other ailments. And I've noticed in the news a lot of celebrities and athletes and musicians that have died. Earlier this year, we received the news that Kobe Bryant had died, and when the world heard that, they were shocked. What a shame, what a terrible tragedy. There were lots of memorials for him, and people commented on him, and you know, all of this stuff was going on. He was such a talented basketball player who had so much left to give to the world. But you know the one thing that mattered to Kobe Bryant as the plane he was in spiraled to the ground? What was the one thing that mattered to him in that moment? Where he stood with God. That was the only thing that mattered. And I don't know where he stood with God. I don't know the man personally. I don't know his heart. But I do know this. The only thing that mattered to him was where he stood with God. It didn't matter how many points he had scored, how many games he had won, how big his bank account was, how popular he was, how many followers he had on social media. None of that mattered. All that mattered to Kobe Bryant in those last seconds as his plane got ready to hit the ground was where he stood with God. The same could be said of Alex Trebek and Sean Connery and every other celebrity and every other human that we've lost this year. The only thing that mattered was where they stood with God. So what is the only thing that will matter to us in 100 years or maybe 100 minutes if we were to die on our way home from church today? What's going to matter? Where we stand with God. That's eternal. That's long term. So if I could snap my fingers right now and the year was 2120, where would you be? What would be your status? What would be your condition? What would matter in 2120? If I could then snap them again and bring you back to this moment in 2020, what would you do differently? What will you do differently? Will you, like Jesus, fix your eyes on the unseen, on the eternal? Maybe we need to read our Bibles a little more. Maybe we need to pray a little more. Maybe we need to attend services either here or remotely more regularly. Maybe with our eyes fixed on eternity, we need to tell our friends about Jesus a little more. All the while, the devil tells us to blow it off, to ignore it, to focus only on the here and now, the short term. In Luke 16, the rich man realized all too late how important it is to be right with God, but there was nothing at that point that he could do about it. Fortunately for us, the clock is still ticking and we still have time. We're about to sing an invitation song. There may be some of you that are here that have been focusing too much on the short term, too much on the temporary. Maybe at times you, like me, have been focused too much on the short-term impacts of this virus, and that has sapped our joy rather than focusing on the long-term impact of being a child of God with an eternity that is secure and the joy that that should bring. Or maybe you're struggling with some other short-term situation, some short-term sin that you're dealing with, and you'd like for this church to pray for you, we will be happy and honored to do that. There might also be someone here that wants to be baptized this morning, to become a Christian, to make sure that their long-term future is secure, to make sure that they can know without a doubt where they will be in 100 years or 1,000 years with God in heaven. So if that's something that you would like to do this morning, a commitment that you would like to make, we can help you with that as well. Please come forward as together we stand and sing.